It's the summer of 2011. Why not change? Why not your company? Why not now? Really? What will it take for you to change and improve your life, your capabilities? It's the summer of 2011. Running out of excuses yet? In this unpredictable economy, is this business as usual? No, this is turnaround business time. Time to improve in the summer of 2011. From business services to technology, marketing to productivity, sales to employee morale, nonprofits to associations, this show addresses today's, not yesterday's, critical topics essential to you and your company. Guess what? In this economy, embrace change or it will continue to confuse you. Leapfrog Forums, taking it to the next level, has been created by and for business challenges, changes, and success stories. Come and talk with us about the vision of change you are living and how that is taking your company to the next level. Let's get our friends and family members back to work now. How? Step up as a change advocate champion and share your innovative and collaborative successes in the workplace with us on air. Tell your story. Leapfrog Forums, taking it to the next level. Innovation and collaboration for growth and jobs. Accomplishing together what we cannot do alone. Call the boss at 602-859-0048. 602-859-0048. That's 602-859-0048. And visit us at www.leapfrogforums.com. www.leapfrogforums.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt. We've been talking about the reality of who you are, talking a lot about acceptance, and however, that seems to me really such a big key, the starting point for everything.
It absolutely is, because if we move to the next two, which are responsibility and effort, see, those are behaviors. Those are striving behaviors many times. So if I don't have a level of acceptance, then I end up getting back more into just performance-oriented behavior. So me taking responsibility for me and the reality that I have, whether it's good or bad, and then making an effort to either change it, you know, or grow or whatever that is, those have to come out of a place of acceptance first.
Well, that totally makes sense. So, in other words, you need all three of these. You can't have just responsibility
first,
and effort without acceptance. It just doesn't work.
Then you're perfectionistic, and then you fail, and then you hate yourself, and then you get into all kinds of negative belief systems, like, you know, I never can accomplish anything, and why even try? And so I'll just like be, you know, whatever, miserable.
So let's go into responsibility. How would you describe that?
Well, responsibility has a lot to do with me taking responsibility for what is happening in my life, whether it's good or bad. And so if there are good things, then I want to take responsibility for that as well. I'm not going to like pretend like it magically happened to me. If there are bad things and certain behaviors, maybe I'm not managing my money well, or maybe I need to lose weight, or maybe whatever that is, then I start from a place of acceptance, and then I take responsibility based on that. The same way as if I take care of somebody, right? Well, I'm responsible for them. See, my dog, I'm responsible for him. So if I don't care for him, then my responsibility just becomes a chore.
So what you're saying then is don't let someone else take responsibility for your good or bad.
Right.
You take it. It starts with you. You have the control over changing or not on certain conditions. So that's very important, because a lot of people blame, and you see it all the time, other people for their life not being very good.
Right.
And in couples, you probably see that all the time.
Well, that and conversely, we see people that are doing really phenomenal things and really good behaviors and really, you know, huge accomplishments, but they won't take responsibility for it because they think that makes them conceited or big-headed or an egomaniac. When really what we find is when people are taking healthy, appropriate responsibility, it also helps with their own self-worth, self-acceptance.
Which is so critical. Now, why would people not take responsibility? What have you seen?
Well, I mean, I think that there's many reasons why people don't want to take responsibility. And some of it is it's too hard. Some of it's too overwhelming. Some of it's they want to be in denial. You know, I mean, there's several responsibility is a grown-up thing. And many times people are not wanting to be a grown-up. They're wanting someone else to take responsibility for them.
That happens a lot, doesn't it?
Well, and a lot. And I do need to say that there are many people that don't want to take responsibility for themselves because they have never been cared for. So there is this tendency for all of us, to one degree or another, to want someone to do for us what our parents never did. And so we have this feeling inside of us that, like, oh, if, and so when we get into relationships, many times that man or that woman all of a sudden is meeting inner child needs. And like, oh, my gosh, they accept me. They just love me. They think I'm great, you know. And what's happening is they're addressing some deep needs that you may not be aware have not been met. And so what we end up doing, though, is we set people up to fail because nobody can really take responsibility for us. And we can't go back and do our childhood.
So is part of it also responsibility, knowing how to take responsibility? Does it also relate to your skill sets, knowing how to do something, how to ignite your resources to change things?
I think
things?
Some of the higher level responsibility, yes. But if we just generally, if people start with basic self-responsibility, those naturally occur. I mean, a lot of it isn't super complicated. You know, and the more adult I am, the more I'm able to access other resources. So if I have something that I don't know how to change, the more adult I am, the better I'm going to be able to go and find resources to help me with that.
So it seems like it goes really hand in hand, accepting and then responsibility. So you have to accept, like you said, where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that place, take the responsibility to move to something better.
Right. It's kind of like, when we talk about reality, the case for reality, well, reality and truth aren't always the same. The best reality is when it's true. Well, if I'm truly accepting, taking responsibility, and making some effort, then I'm got truth in my reality. And so many of the realities that we create are not based in truth. And so we see this with people with eating disorders. So they are, you know, if they're anorexic, then their reality is they are fat. Well, we know that's not true. But it's so much their reality that they are believing it as truth. Well, then they're going to have terrible behaviors as a result of it that are going to harm them. And so when we're talking about reality, I'm saying to people, you know, the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, if only then, is that's a vain imagination out there. I need to be in the reality of here's where I'm at now, not where I could have been, not where I would have been, not where I should have been. You know, if I had this opportunity, then I'd be this. Okay, that's just going to cause me to have less self-acceptance and less peace. And so the reality is also where God is at. And so I say to people all the time, you know, I think we at least owe God that he's willing to be in the reality I've created. I need to be there as well. Because that's really the only thing I can change.
So it also sounds like what you're talking about, if you know how to be in the present moment, that really solves a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm willing to have the courage to face the reality that I'm in. And many of us don't want to do that. And some of it is the reality that I'm in might be really, really good. And I'm too afraid to accept that or take responsibility for that because maybe I'm going to jinx it or I'll screw it up or something like this. Or the reality I'm in is really, really bad. And so I don't want to accept that either. And so either way, I'm missing out on my life. My life is still happening while I'm in the coulda, shoulda, wouldas.
So I would think, what is it? What do they call the Gen X or whatever they're called, the group where people think they're entitled to, well, all these entitlements,
mm-hmm.
that would seem to go contrary to this.
Absolutely.
Quite a bit, because if you have a belief that, hey, I'm owed this,
well, the only
that's
thing
a problem, right?
Well, I think that entitlement comes from childhood, okay? Children are entitled to many things. They are entitled to good care. I mean, we go in and we remove children from homes where they're not getting good care. So what happens when we grow up, if I don't get out of entitlement, where somebody else is supposed to be doing all this for me, then I have that entitlement persona, which is horrible. So what I say to people is, yes, you are entitled to good self-care from you. From you. You're the primary caregiver. That part of you does and should feel entitled to good care from you. not from other people, from you. And then what happens is the better care I take of myself, the better other people are going to care for me as well.
Now, I've seen marriages where one of the spouses really looked to the other to make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe certain roles get in the place where it establishes their who's responsible for what. How does this play out there? Because it seems to me, as I'm thinking about this, that even though everyone has a certain role, each should be responsible still for their own happiness.
Always, because that is a very, very childlike state. When we look at developmental psychology, we see little children growing out of that if they're growing healthfully. Because instead of wanting their parents to always make them happy, and this is we have a big problem with this with Americans. I'm constantly saying to parents, please stop entertaining your children so much. You know, this you are expected to provide the ability for them to be happy. But they are still the ones that need to figure it out. And so we really steal from people the figuring out life issue. And so they grow up in marriages where they bring their little child with them, and their little child hijacks the whole entire relationship, and little child has temper tantrums and pouts and sulks and is overly sensitive and gets angry because you're not doing exactly what I want you to do, so I'm not happy now.
So this has got to be foreign to them, these three principles, and does it take very long for them to start thinking differently, or do some people just flat out say no? This is just way too beyond my beliefs.
They don't generally say no. They generally just maybe quit therapy because it's too hard. It's just too hard.
So they want to do it. That's the effort part that we'll get into.
So they would much rather just talk about all their problems instead of
solve them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, how does codependency play out in this? Because
well, that's part of what this is. I'm not responsible for me.
Yeah.
And so because I'm not taking responsibility for myself, I'm very willing to take responsibility for you. So if you will let me, then I'm going to take responsibility for you because I'm going to make you and change you and have you be who I need you to be. So ultimately, I really do get my needs met.
How much of that issue that you just described is responsible or really creates the high divorce rate or the split up of people?
Oh, I'm always saying to clients when I say, well, you know, this is terrible codependent behavior. This is being codependent. They're like, I'm not codependent. And I go, really? I said, well, you're American, aren't you?
It's ingrained in the culture.
You're raised in America. This is what Americans do. Okay, we take responsibility for everybody else in the world. We don't, you know, take care of ourselves. We don't want anyone to be mad at us. We want to be popular with everybody. We don't want to confront anybody. And God forbid we need anything because nobody helps us. And so this is part of our American culture that has gone awry. It's that servanthood and that wanting to be benevolent and charitable that has gone awry. And so, you know, codependency is rampant because really what it is I'm dependent on people, places, and things. Those external things I'm dependent on to make me happy. And so if it's you, then I'm depending on you to act and be in a certain way so that I get the good feelings that I want versus me making sure that my feeling state is my own responsibility.
You know, it seems to me that this would be something that would be valuable. I don't know if they could do this, but you know, so many different licenses, a license, you have to take a test,
mm-hmm.
driver's license, of course, in therapy, CPA, attorney, doctors. But marriage license, I think you just can get and buy. Wouldn't it be good to teach some of this and have some type of requirements to really instill some of these concepts you're talking about prior to someone being married?
Well, I mean,
it's a tough subject.
I think logically, I think that can sort of sound right. But if we really look at it, that's trying to legislate people being healthy. And I don't think we can.
But if we could, would you think it's a good idea?
No, because I think it takes out the whole self-responsibility. It's like if couples want to
make it,
then go figure out how to make it. You know, go get the books, go take the test, go get a therapist. I mean, I always am saying to clients, like, well, therapy is so expensive. I'm like, you live in America, get on the internet. You have more help there. There is no excuse for not having information. We have so much information, we're
huge.
Overwhelmed with it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's a good point. You're right. It would be contradictory to the concept of responsibility
right.
if you legislate that.
Right.
But
it's a great thought initially because, you know, we want to think because
yeah.
you and I are people that like to self-actualize. We would like to think that, well, of course, they'd be excited to do it.
Yeah, I would think
yeah.
so.
Yeah, no. No. And because
it would ruin they'd pop a bubble in their fantasy, right?
They'd have to work on they'd have to have some pain versus just constantly trying to assuage or medicate their pain. They'd have to actually make some changes to find out why they're in pain and what they need to do to stop having the pain.
And in the middle of a honeymoon, people don't like to think of that.
Right.
That's the... I think, okay, here's another thought then. How about eliminate honeymoons? How about this? This is even better. How about starting from the end of a relationship and moving backwards? So if people really somehow move forward to the end of a relationship, when all the lustful things dissipated, the fantasies dissipated, and get to that point and then move backwards, I think it would be a great way to have a relationship.
Well, it is, if you were somebody that was a self-actualizer.
Oh, there you go.
That's what they do.
And oh, that's so, what they do?
Yeah, that's people that want to improve, people that want to grow, will think in those kinds of ways.
Wow, so there's hope for me.
There's always. I think
there's always hope for me.
There's always hope for all of us. The bottom line is people have to learn that they're either going to live as a victim to either their own feelings. They're going to be a victim to their own internal state, or they're going to be a victim to the world, you know, and or they're going to say to themselves, I'm choosing not to live that way. I'm going to take responsibility for my own happiness, my own self-discovery, my own actualization. And, you know, we don't have a whole lot of people that want to do that, because that is does require more effort, and you have to have more forward thinking. You know, you can't just live in the moment and this is how I'm feeling right now, so I'm going to act however I want to act because this is how I feel, and you just need to deal with how I feel. So, and because I feel this way, I'm going to do this particular behavior because it's justified, and I'm going to rationalize my whole entire life away.
I like it. I like what you said, a victim to our own internal states and to the world. I think so many people, unfortunately, are in that position. They may not even realize it. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Cynthia Hyatt, the star of Match No Match. This is Breakthrough Thinking. And we'll be right back to talk about a little bit more about responsibility. And then we'll get into effort. We were talking about acceptance, responsibility, and effort. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt. A great discussion on the reality of who you are. R is acceptance, responsibility, effort. We've talked about acceptance and responsibility thus far. They go hand in hand. You have to have all three. You can't just have one. You just can't have two out of three. A lot of people saying, really, why can't they have two out of three? But it starts with acceptance. And I think the sequence is important, right?
Yes, it is.
Accepting where you are.
I have to start with acceptance.
Yeah. And if you can't get there, just because of the immediate gratification society, you can't say, oh, well, I'll get to that later.
Right.
You probably hear that.
Right. Because acceptance in many ways is the hardest one to do.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. But see, responsibility and effort are action-oriented issues. And so many people, especially Americans, if I can just do something, I start to feel better. But if I don't have the underlying foundation of acceptance, then I'm not going to be able to continue to do those behaviors. This is why people that, you know, want to lose weight, they get into doing the right things. But if they're not doing the core issue and acceptance, which is self-care, which is being at peace with myself, I'm not going to be able to keep those behaviors going.
That totally makes sense. And I was reading something here that I like what you have here. It says, accept our feelings, take responsibility for them, what they indicate and what we do with them, and effort, learn from them, express them appropriately, and grow from them, enjoy them. And I think that's where all three, acceptance, responsibility, and effort, seem to play out. Now, effort, you said, is more what, the act of doing?
Right. Well, it's kind of like if I accept that I have a financial problem. I accept that. I say, okay, I don't like where it's at. It's painful to look at. It's embarrassing. It's overwhelming. It's blah, blah, blah. But I accept it. Okay, that's today. That's where things are. Now I'm taking responsibility for that. I'm saying it is my problem. Even if somebody did it to me, it is my problem. And all of us probably can say that we have dealt with people that financially have harmed us. And so even if it was done to me, it doesn't make it right, but it still is now mine. So I take responsibility for it. Well, now what kind of effort am I going to put forth to change that? So if I don't like my financial situation, then what effort am I going to put into it?
Well, that
because
totally,
see, if we don't do effort, many times what we get is we get acceptance, then we take responsibility for it, but we don't do anything about it, right? So then we just start getting into self-condemnation at that point.
That's right. There's that makes sense. Also, I think a lot of people have a misperception of just sitting back, accepting, taking responsibility, and saying, "Now, okay, God, you do the rest." I don't think that works very well. I think I've heard many times God can do for you what he can do through you. So I think key there is through you,
right,
is get out there and take some action. And there's always things
you
can do.
But even so, I mean, I think you have a good point. But let's say that my problem, let's say I, let me think. Let's say my problem is I got cancer, okay? So many times people will hear these stories where somebody's had cancer and they just don't want to deal with it, and so they die of it. And then when they do the autopsy, the family goes, they had cancer? Oh, my gosh, they never even knew. They didn't even tell us. So if I accept that I have cancer, I'm like, okay, this is my responsibility. It's my problem. Nobody can, you know, get inside of my body and fight this disease for me. So what effort am I going to put forth? Well, let's say I found out I'm in stage 4 cancer and the doctors are saying there's nothing I can do for you. Well, I can still put forth effort because I can still say, God, I'm asking for a miracle. Or, God, I'm asking you to help the last of my days be fruitful. So I can still put effort even if the problem is so big, I can't do anything. The effort might just be a spiritual endeavor.
So it sounds like what you're saying is don't give up.
Right.
Under any conditions. Always move forward. Always.
Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Find a way. And
yes.
And again, that gets back to beliefs, because the people that believe, if you have a belief system, there's always a way, then you're going to, it will activate your effort to say, okay, how do I find it? You're always curious. Your state of mind supports it. You may ask a lot of people, hey, who do you know that's been in this situation? So,
right.
But if you give up,
and see,
there's
many
no
times,
chance.
And see, this is why this little acronym works very well, because if the problem is really, really big, then I can overwhelm myself with the effort I need to put into it, versus saying, you know what? What I can do is break it down into a whole bunch of pieces. So when I'm talking to people about loving themselves, I say, you know what? If you can't love yourself today, if you hate yourself so much that you don't even like being around yourself, well, then I say to them, then just practice being polite. That's the effort I want you to put in. Just don't swear at yourself in your head, okay? So you don't have to do big self-care behaviors, but just stop the huge self-condemnation and judgment and accusations and self-abuse. So if you can't stop all the self-abuse, like let's say somebody has very, very destructive behaviors, I say, well, then you know what? I just want you in your mind to start trying to think like God does towards you. So then you say to yourself, okay, if I can't think good thoughts toward me, I'm going to think about something else then. I'm just going to choose not to think that way. I'm going to choose to think on something else. And so I can make small efforts, so I can break things down to the smallest common denominator that I can actually do.
That makes sense. NLP, we we talk about chunking down to its smallest component. And the reason one would do that is less overwhelming, usually.
Exactly.
And Dale Carnegie, who I really like, How to Win Friends and Influence People, many books, he always said, live in day-tight compartments. And I think it, what he meant is the same thing as chunking down.
Right.
Day-tight compartments, make it, you know, chunk down the time, chunk down the sequence of things, and it's less overwhelming.
That's right.
More manageable. That means if it's more manageable, it's easier, I believe, to take responsibility and do the effort which is under your control.
Right. It's kind of like if someone, it comes to me and they're very, very depressed, and so they're just like, I can't even get out of bed. You know, I can't get up and get ready and go do my things. I say, okay, well, then this is all I want you to do. I just want you to roll out of bed and lay on the floor. That's all. I just want you to just take that little movement. Just get out of the bed. You don't have to get up and start moving around. You don't have to go take a shower. You don't have to do any of those things. I just want you to make one movement. Because one of the things we know for people with depression is their beds hold their depression many times for them.
As an anchor?
It's just the aura of it, you know. There. And so when they have trouble getting out of bed and staying in bed for days on end, then the bed is depressing.
You know,
that's why I'm saying to them many times, if you're going to go back to bed because you're depressed, then don't get under the covers.
Oh, so small.
Then just lay on top of the bed. That's like what people do when they take a nap.
That's interesting because I know Steven Spielberg always said he can't wait to get out of bed and start his day. And, you know, just imagine if you had a mindset like that, how life would be different.
Right. And see, but when we know when we're dealing with different types of depression, when we're dealing with clinical depressions, they can't think their way out of it. See, that's going to be a different issue. Like many times that's a medication issue, you know, that we're going to need to do with somebody so that then they can start to think more appropriately. So when we do these little behaviors that just change their feeling state, they get some relief.
That's excellent. So, and it does create a little momentum, I suspect.
Absolutely.
And as you know,
because they start to feel some hope. It feels like, well, if I can do that, then maybe I can do the next.
These are some very good tips. You should write a book.
There you go.
Oh, I think this would be excellent. So effort. Is effort any way related also to skill set? So, I mean, someone could put effort in, but if they're at a skill set that's not the greatest, should they recognize that as well?
Absolutely. That's part of acceptance. Like, I accept the fact that I am not an IT person. I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. I don't like the media stuff. I'm not good at it. I like my cell phone a lot because I like to. I do a bunch of stuff on the phone, and
you
I
answer
like,
my emails.
Yes,
you
I do because I have used that as a discipline.
Oh, I thought it was because Dave's calling.
No,
that's not
it's
at
because,
all.
So what I do though is I accept the fact that I don't like emails. I don't like computers. I don't like these things. But now I'm certainly intelligent enough to get it all figured out. But I like paper. I like writing on paper. So my preference. So I am not a huge technical person. So what I accept about that is then I take responsibility for the fact that I live in a technical world, right? So I'm going to learn basics that help me to live in the world that I'm in technologically. And then I'm going to then hire someone to do the other stuff.
That makes a lot of sense. So part of the skill set is a skill of knowing when and how to delegate.
Right.
And that is a skill. It drives me nuts.
If I didn't have good self-acceptance, then I might beat myself up about technology and say, well, you know, you're just being stupid or you just can't get it or what are people going to think? And then I just kind of like put my head in the sand and pretend like it's not happening. Or I'm upset everybody and I don't appear as a professional person because I won't deal with my technology issue.
And it is an age of specialties. So, I mean, that's accepting the age you're in, too.
Right, right.
And, excuse me, you can't be all things to all. You just can't be all things.
That's right. That's why we need people.
Very, very important. I remember, you know, that could be devastating, actually. Long ago, I had this client as a CPA. Oh, it must have been like, 20 years ago. And he had a great telephone system going on when telephone systems were really innovative. But he wanted to do his own accounting. I go, well, you should. Why? He goes, well, it's too costly. I go, but what's it going to cost you to go off your passion and do something you have no clue about? And you know what? It cost him his company.
Absolutely.
It took him 3 months. He didn't do it right. And unfortunately, it just, he sort of disappeared out of sight.
Right.
It was really unfortunate to see that. I think you probably have seen people in that mm-hmm. situation.
Well, and that's false pride. That's this pride that says, I have to be able to do all these things, and if I can't, then there's something wrong with me. Versus acceptance says, I'm not God. So I'm going to have some talents, and I'm going to have some things that are not my deal, that I'm not good at, that I don't even get, that I don't even understand, and that does not make me a less than person. So the more I accept my strengths and my weaknesses, you know, we talk a lot about strengths, but we don't ever talk about how do I manage my weaknesses. And I work a lot on making sure I'm managing my weakness. I don't need to manage my strengths. They're strong. They just do their own. They happen. But my weaknesses, I need to learn to manage those and accept them.
That totally makes sense. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Cynthia Hyatt, the star of Match, No Match. And I'm going to ask you a question right after the break about what I call the third level of thinking. We may have talked about it here on the show before, but I think this is maybe a good tool to get people aware of how to manage their weaknesses, go with their strengths, and get the job done.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerham Baum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match, No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt. And what a conversation. The listeners are really, they take note to this. And they can always go back to the website at breakradioshow.com, hear the archive show. This is really good stuff. Their life can change pretty dramatically very quickly.
Well, and what we were talking about earlier when I was saying that, you know, there isn't like a panacea for, you know, my life working and me not having any more problems. But what it does is if I do have a huge problem, you know, a huge moral failure or whatever could happen, if I am practicing this on a daily basis, if this is my lifestyle, if this is the way that I think, I manage those huge storms better, even if they're ones that are self-inflicted. Because, you know, we're always in a process of growing and changing.
There's no question, and that's very important. That should be maybe one of the a big goal of people is to evolve, to mm-hmm. become their highest and best, to get to their full potential, whatever that might be. Now, I was talking about the third level of thinking. Have I ever talked about that?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so Tom, you've probably heard of this before. Now, okay, we'll have Tom say it. No, I'm kidding. All right, putting Tom on the spot. Well, the first level is pretty interesting. I think people really play in this level. I know my name is Dave, and, you know, that's the first level. You know what you think you know. And the second level, I know what I don't know. Mm-hmm. So the example I give is I know I have an engine in my car. I don't know how to fix it, but if it seems to break down, I know maybe someone that does know how to fix it.
Right.
Second level,
right.
That I know I don't know. I know. I mean, I don't know that particular thing. The third level is where I think it would be helpful if people played at this level. I know that I don't know what I don't know.
Right.
In other words, I know that I don't know what I don't know, meaning I have no clue about things that are way out of my awareness. Mm-hmm. And it might be a way of increasing your awareness to figure out and explore other things that could have a significant impact on your life. One would be going to a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
What don't you know that they can help you with, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be, have you ever heard of something like that?
Absolutely. Well, I think the whole idea of I know I don't know that I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I know what I don't know I don't know. Wait.
I know that I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah, I did say it right. Okay. But some of that is like when we were talking on one of the shows about the trip I took to Africa, and that was a lot of it is, you know, God's ways aren't my ways, His thoughts aren't my thoughts. And so the more I grow spiritually, that begins to uncover those things. That begins to reveal those things to me. And so,
yeah.
You know, what we know, like one of my favorite verses is God says He wants truth to the inmost parts of our being. So He's constantly trying to reveal truth and get it down to the very core of who I am. Well, I'm human. I there's so many things that I don't know, and I don't even know that I don't know them as well. You know, and so that's that important part of when I'm taking responsibility for myself. I accept the fact that there's a whole bunch of stuff, God, I don't even know about me. I don't even know what to ask You. You know, I don't even know what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to find. And so I accept that. I am limited spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, all those things. Then I take responsibility for that by saying, okay, yeah, that's me. That's not God. God's not the one that doesn't know. And so then I put forth effort and I say, I'm seeking You and I'm asking You.
Say, I like what you said, seeking, and also how about just be open mm-hmm. to the possibility.
Absolutely.
And that frame of mind is huge. That's
yes.
That's because you probably have seen people that are very closed, and they'll, I always call it they're negotiating against themselves. They'll say no before mm-hmm. they even try. Have you seen mm-hmm. that?
Oh, absolutely.
It really sort of drives me nuts. Maybe it shouldn't drive me nuts, but I'm going, wow, there's plenty of people to negotiate, but why negotiate against yourself and cut off all possibilities? Like, it won't work. That will never happen. That's impossible. When people hear that in their either mm-hmm. their spoken word or the little small voice in their head, that should be a sign like, wait, you're not open to what is possible. And what do they say about God? All things are possible?
Yes,
I've heard
yes,
that.
Yes. And see, some of that, though, is a control issue that people do unconsciously.
Well, explain what that means.
Well, if I say no right off the bat, then it gives me time to think about it if I want to. If I don't feel confident saying, like, no to people, then if I say yes, I may feel trapped. Like, oh, now I have to do it. So if I say no first, then I've already stopped them from trying to persuade me or stopped them from trying to talk me into something. And it gives me time to think about it. Well, it's an unhealthy way to go about addressing the world. But it is many times a control issue.
You know, and I also, and I could see what you're saying there. And also what I've noticed in addition to that is saying no and negotiating against yourself is not wanting to take responsibility.
Absolutely.
And because
I've already talked myself out of it before.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Good. So I don't have to do it.
Right.
I don't have to try it.
Right. It just won't
man.
Work. Just
or
won't
the
work.
Effort issue,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it just won't work. Okay, it won't work because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always tell people, I go, well, if you want to... Well, let's put it this way. There's some people that will say to the leaders of the company, like, well, you shouldn't do it that way. But I always had a requirement, like, you can say what you want, mm-hmm. but always have a solution. Don't say you can't do it that way without saying, how about this way?
Right.
Most of the people I've seen, they'll just say, no, don't do it that way. Mm-hmm. But I'll say, well, which way should it be
right.
done? They have no clue.
Right.
What's up with that?
Well, that's another control issue.
Oh, man.
Yes, because it's really easy because then I don't have to be a failure and I don't have to be the one that's putting myself out there trying to come up with solutions and trying and maybe failing. So if I just take the stance that, you know, this isn't working, then it also puts the responsibility all on you if you're willing to take it.
Right.
But see, if you give it back and say, okay, and what ideas do you have that would make it be better? Then all of a sudden you now have included them back into the situation that you're not outside the situation.
And they usually don't
yes.
like it.
Well, because people create all kinds of situations for themselves they don't want to take responsibility for. And so they look for the person that to get them out of their own situation.
So how does someone develop responsibility? I mean, does that... Because I don't know. I see a lot of people in society today that just don't want to take responsibility for anything. Is it?
Yes.
How do you get people re-engaged to? I know you're going to say acceptance. See, I've been listening. See, Tom, I get an A. So is that? Did I just answer my own? Is there other ways too?
Well, I think you're going back to this idea of we're trying to figure out how to get people motivated to be the best version of themselves, to be the highest best, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, you know, unfortunately, one of the greatest motivators is pain.
Yeah.
And so if people can go through their life avoiding necessary pain and not feeling their pain, they don't change. And so, you know, what happens in that kind of a spiral is they become insulated to the solution. Because if the pain is about what they're doing in their life, but they don't want to see it as they are the primary variable in that formula. It's like many times I will say to couples, I will say to them frequently, what part of this formula are you? What part of this experience is creating this outcome? Who are you in this formula? Are you A? Are you B? Because we've got C, and so we know it takes more than just you. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. So what part of this outcome are you?
Like, how are you contributing to this situation?
Right. And so if you be, you know, and so there's, when we do this, then people have to really say, well, what part of this am I? Because there's a part of all of us that wants to say, none, I'm not part of any of it.
Yeah, it's their fault.
It's all their fault. And if they would just stop doing what they're doing, then everything would be okay. So if you would just get them to stop talking like that or stop saying that or stop doing that behavior. And so what we do is then we find out, well, what part of this outcome are you? Because that's the part that you can change.
So that makes sense. And that really gets them to focus inward, right?
But see, in this world, we really give people the option of not ever looking at that. And so what happens is they become so externally focused, they really do think that it's all happening to them.
As a victim.
Mm-hmm. And they don't even see themselves like taking like a victim posture. They just think it shouldn't be happening that way, and somebody's got to change it. So
but
who
not
is
them.
Gonna, yeah, that's right. Who is going to change this? Who is going to make this world better? Who is going to make our country better? Right?
Now, when you talk to couples in that situation, do they usually get it right away, or does it take a little
No,
time?
They don't. No, I frequently have to say that over and over and over again. A plus B equals C. Which one are you? Are you A? Are you B? Are you the initiator? Are you the reactor?
That you're really... You know? Giving them the opportunity to take responsibility mm-hmm. is what you're doing.
Right. And then I'll say, or are you both? And then sometimes I'll have some people that say, well, I'm T. And I say, really?
T?
Yeah. Okay. So
what is T?
Yeah. I'm just like, so they're not, because they don't want to be part of the formula. And so I said, oh, okay, I see. So then I say to them, however, you are sitting here, so you are a part of the formula because you're right here in front of me.
Then what do they say?
Then they usually laugh and they don't want to do it. And they just go, oh, you know. I say, okay, well, which part of the outcome are you? Good and bad.
Yeah, which is good, because then it gets back to the three, the acceptance mm-hmm. of it, mm-hmm. take responsibility. Then you get to the interesting part of therapy, I suspect. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's put some effort into changing it.
Right, and see, the reason that effort is so very important to lasting change or to anything of value is this idea that, you know, lottery winners, they put no effort into winning that money. And look what happens to them.
Yeah, the studies show mm-hmm. that after, what, a couple years, they're mm-hmm. actually
they're
worse financially.
Far worse than they ever were.
That's interesting, isn't it?
And their families are broken up, and their marriages are, I mean, it's horrible. And so effort is really, really paramount for human beings. Because when I take responsibility for something and I put effort into it, then it's mine.
Yeah.
It belongs to me. So my accomplishments are mine. Now, they're not all mine. I got help. God certainly helped me. Other people might have helped me. But there's a huge part of it that is mine. And see, whenever I have ownership of something, I usually treat it better and I usually value it.
Now, doesn't that also lead to confidence and mm-hmm. high self-esteem?
Absolutely.
So you could also look at the opposite of that, is that perhaps people that don't want to take responsibility, don't put effort, would it be fair to say maybe they have low self-esteem?
Usually.
Interesting. So it's one way to get to the point.
Yes, and see, and many times what happens is it becomes that negative spiral. It becomes that feedback loop that just keeps creating its own problem. So if I feel bad about myself, I don't take responsibility. And if I don't take responsibility, I don't put effort into anything, then I hate myself. And if I hate myself, I don't want to take responsibility for the life that I have. And it just becomes this horrible circle.
And you said, of course, pain, when there's enough pain, perhaps people will be motivated to change. So,
and unfortunately, you know, some of what we have here in America, we have so many ways to anesthetize our pain that we miss out on the gift of pain.
Like drugs,
mm-hmm.
alcohol,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Money, sex, shopping, TV,
yeah, I
music.
Heard that about shopping.
Yes.
I'm in pain. Let's shop.
Mm-hmm. So there's all
Never
kinds
learned
of...
learned that
I mean,
technique.
I, you know, arguing with people is a way to stay out of pain because I'll just go create more pain over there and I don't have to deal with the pain that I'm in. And so
really?
It's, you know, any kind of distraction or deflection is a way to avoid pain.
Wow. But it always is there, though.
Well, it leads to more is the problem.
Yeah.
It just leads to more pain.
So eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually... I figure, why not do it now versus getting more pain? And
absolutely.
Do you have patients that will recognize that and they don't have to wait for the pain? They have enough self-awareness
yes.
and
well,
they'll say, well, it may be painful, so let's do it now, right?
That would be a mature adult.
Oh, and there's not many of those,
that,
right?
That makes good choices.
That
recognizes natural logical consequences and says, you know what, that I want to avoid that pain. And so even though it's going to give me temporary pleasure, I'm not doing it.
I know two mature adults.
So I will delay gratification.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But I know two mature adults, and you're one of them.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Cynthia High at the star of Match No Match. And we've been talking about acceptance, responsibility, effort. Interesting, because the reality of who you are, I mean, look, you can change perception, change reality. We'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt. And boy, Cynthia, it's always a pleasure talking
Thank
with you.
You.
I got to tell you, we're almost at the end of the show. We probably have about 10 minutes. I'm going to guess 10. And Tom's looking down at his watch, and he's looking. I'm like a play-by-play. He's giving me the nod. Oh, 9 minutes. Oh, I was off by one. So maybe a little summary of what we've talked about today. Acceptance.
Yes.
So a little summary, how do we define acceptance?
Well, I think the biggest thing when we say the reality of who you are is there is this reality state that I have to deal with. And if I'm wanting to constantly, if I'm in denial, right, then I'm not going to be dealing with the reality, or I'm going to be creating a reality that doesn't exist. And so reality, we want reality to be based in truth. One of the ways that we bring truth, because we know when we know the truth, it sets us free. So one of the ways that I make sure my reality is based in truth is, number one, I accept the reality I'm in today, right now, this moment, this is it. And so I'm constantly saying to clients, here's a little saying, acceptance, the key to all my problems. And so I accept 100%. Then as I take responsibility for what I'm accepting, whether it's positive or negative, then that's where I start to then be able to initiate some change.
And without the acceptance, without the responsibility, that's, I suspect, it's really hard to do any effort.
Right. Well, that's when we get into white-knuckling something.
Yeah.
It's all effort. It's pure effort, but I can't sustain effort, you know, indefinitely. The effort has to have its own place of momentum. It has to have its own energy source, and I can't just be putting forth effort.
It's like I always think of that, and I see it all the time in business, where people are reactive, and they react rather than proactive. And it always reminds me like a chicken with its head cut off. It just sort of like moves, but it doesn't have a purpose where it's moving. It's just
like instinctual.
In fact, I remember great haste does not make good speed. I remember that.
I like that.
Yeah, I think I saw it was at a Chinese restaurant and a fortune cookie. I always read these things. Sometimes you get a gem, and that was a gem.
Yes, that is.
Great haste doesn't make good speed. I've told that to some clients over the years that when they are just – I had this client once. Oh, man. It was just like action, action, action. Mm-hmm. No purposeful thinking, but always moving, always
just
doing
frenetic
things.
Energy.
Yeah, without any rhyme or reason. But you know, I got to meet this person. I got to meet and I try to slow him up. And I just said, great haste doesn't make good speed. And he seemed to get it. Mm-hmm. And this guy.
Well, it's mindfulness.
Yeah. Well, that's
yes.
But so many people do it. You think panic has something to do with that? They just know something has to be done, and they just like a spinning top going all directions?
Well, I think it's a great way to stay disconnected from yourself.
Oh, maybe that's
so
it.
So I think that's the generally why people just get into a bunch of frenetic energy, because they don't want to deal with themselves and the world that they're living in, their own reality.
Wow.
So they're trying to change the reality without accepting who they are in the midst of it and taking responsibility for why that reality is that way. They just expend a whole bunch of effort to get out of it.
Sort of like when people first meet, like the dating. We'll go back to the dating things. You got two realities colliding.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you would describe it? They're colliding.
Yeah,
but
sometimes.
At first, they do this like dance, and but they project a movie, I believe, of what they want on the other person. So it's not the person, it's the movie of the who they want. It's just the body. And then that movie seems to fade eventually. After
well,
the
yes.
90-day guarantee.
Yes.
Remember
yes.
we started the
yes.
show, 90-day.
That's right.
Probation.
That's right.
I could call it the 90-day guarantee. I think it should. Do you think it should be more than 90?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that time always tells. I always tell, like, do you think he's the one? Do you think she's the one? I'm like, I think time always tells. Like, because, you know, if everybody has to break up or they get married. I mean, that's just the way that it works. It can't work out with everybody. If it did, who would you decide to marry?
You know, one time, I still do these, but I used to do a lot of seminars, how to recognize red flags and potential partners. And one time I said, time is always important. It's a key feature. Then I thought about it, and this is what I came up with. Let me see what you think.
Okay.
I said, unless you have perfect discernment, then time may not matter.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Wow, I thought of that all by myself.
Yeah.
But for the longest time, I said, time, take the time. Mm-hmm. And then I saw cases where people were able to keep the facade and the illusion up for like 2 years. And I go, wait, that didn't work in this case. Mm-hmm. Then I said, oh, it must be another formula. Perfect discernment, then no time. Otherwise, awareness with great time seems to help.
Well, the only breakdown is you can have perfect discernment. But the problem is you're not going to have perfect discernment of yourself because you're still growing and changing. So you're not in a static position.
Oh, good point.
So it doesn't. So, you know, if you were God who lives outside of time, you know.
Then it would work.
Yes. And so we live in time. And so we are traveling. So even if you had perfect discernment at that moment.
It may not be the same.
Right.
But the more evolved you are, the more aware you are, maybe that helps.
Absolutely. And the more clear you are with yourself,
yeah.
the better you are able to recognize what's going on. And the more you learn to listen to your gut in that way, you know, because a lot of times we talk ourselves out of red flags all the time. We want to believe the best of people, and we want to believe they're who we want them to be.
And isn't there a fine line between thinking you're aware and it's just the filter of your unawareness? It's like some type of compensation for something that you don't have within yourself, because what someone told me once, and it seems to make sense, where's the best way to get love? Is it do you get love from God and it goes through you outward, or do you rely on other people to receive your love needs?
Well, you do both.
Okay.
Yes. So we can't just, you know, the best source, though, always is God, because he doesn't run out and he doesn't tire.
Yeah.
And so he does it perfectly. So the more I get from him, the more I have to give. And so then when people don't have it to give me from one moment to the next, I'm going to not be in a deficit place.
And then
see, if I'm always depending on them.
For
then,
love.
Yes. Then I, you know, it's kind of like when we talk about emotional bank accounts. So if I'm constantly waiting for them to deposit, what if they don't deposit that day? Then I'm going to go in the red, you know? And
that's
so
right.
I'm going to get all these deductions, and then eventually I'll go into, you know, overdraft. And then if I'm in overdraft too long, I go into emotional bankruptcy.
And then a bankruptcy attorney and a divorce attorney.
That's right.
Someone did say marriage is grand, but divorce is 100 grand.
Yes.
Oh, I've said that before.
Yes, you did.
Oh, it usually works. Wow. So anyway, I think this was a great discussion. And again, you can hear the archive shows on breakradioshow.com. The reality of who you are. And that movie we should mention again. Mm-hmm. What was that? The People versus...
The State of Illusion.
Wow. Are you going to see that?
Yes, I'd really like to. I'm planning on it. They all. You also can listen to the radio show on my website because it's linked to you.
Oh, good.
Yes, and so there's a little link that'll take you to you.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
And how did we get to your website?
CynthiaHyatt.com. CynthiaHyatt.
Wow.
Cynthia Hyatt.
Hyatt.
Yes.
H-I-E-T.
TT. Yes, very simple.
That is simple,
mm-hmm.
And you can hear all this great stuff. And also, your website, you have blogs on there?
Not yet. Coming.
Coming.
Yes.
Coming soon to
yes.
theater or driving near you. And we'll try to get the author or the writer of this movie on.
That'd be wonderful.
I think that'd be great.
I do, too.
Sounds like it's right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yes, it would be great.
Ooh, maybe you could do the sequel.
Yes. That would be amazing.
Wow, and at least be a guest lecturer.
That would be amazing. Yes, it would.
I'm going to check that out immediately. And thank you, Cynthia Hyatt.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Always.
And we'll see everyone next month, same time, third Monday, 2 to 4. Match No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt. This is Breakthrough Thinking, and we'll see everyone tomorrow for our show called Mind Your Own Business, all about processes and consulting and some NLP thrown in there. Have a great night.